Pro-Life to the Max is produced and broadcast by WOMB 89.9 FM Catholic Radio in Bloomington, Indiana.
Ave Maria, welcome to Pro-Life to the Max, a weekly half-hour radio program under the patronage of St. Maximilian Mary Kolbe that is dedicated to keeping you informed on local, state, and national pro-life issues and efforts and inspiring you to get involved. I'm Monica Siefker, your host for the program, so blessed to be here with you today. Thanks for joining me. Well, this is a big weekend as far as the pro-life movement is concerned. Saturday, January 22nd marks the 49th anniversary of the infamous Supreme Court decision that legalized the killing of unborn children in our country. Our bishops here in the U.S. have called for January 22nd to be a day of prayer and fasting for the legal protection of the unborn. And of course, if you're listening to me on Friday, January 21st, you know that the National March for Life just took place today in Washington, D.C., with this year's theme being Together We March for Life. And closer to home, this coming Monday, January 24th, we'll see hundreds of Hoosiers gathering in downtown Indianapolis at noon for a march to the State House, followed there by a rally for life. And certainly the pro-life movement is really energized this year because there's a good chance that we could see Roe v. Wade completely overturned or at least receiving a major hit when the Supreme Court issues its decision in the Dobbs versus Jackson's women's health case, probably sometime in June or July. So I just want to encourage you to put forth some extra heartfelt effort on Saturday and really all weekend to pray and make some sacrifices for the revocation of Roe v. Wade and for the building up of a culture of life and love. Well, all the way back in 1979, Pope St. John Paul II made an apostolic journey here to the U.S., and he offered the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass at the Capitol Mall, where he gave an outstanding homily. Near the beginning of that sermon, the late pontiff said, "I do not hesitate to proclaim before you and before the world that all human life, from the moment of conception and through all subsequent stages, is sacred, because human life is created in the image and likeness of God. Nothing surpasses the greatness or dignity of a human person. Human life is not just an idea or an abstraction. Human life is the concrete reality of a being that lives, that acts, that grows, and develops. Human life is the concrete reality of a being that is capable of love and of service to humanity. Let me repeat what I told the people during my recent pilgrimage to my homeland," John Paul II said. "If a person's right to life is violated at the moment in which he is first conceived in his mother's womb, an indirect blow is struck also at the whole of the moral order, which serves to ensure the inviolable goods of man. Among those goods, life occupies the first place. The Church defends the right to life, not only in regard to the majesty of the Creator, who is the first giver of this life, but also in respect of the essential good of the human person." That homily from the author of the Gospel of Life was given on October 7, 1979, on the Feast of the Holy Rosary at the National Mall in Washington, D.C. And my, was it a beautiful and challenging one, a call to the people of America to embrace a culture of life. Well, many years ago, the Knights of Columbus put together a little prayer card that was adapted from this homily of Pope St. John Paul II, and I thought we'd use it for our prayer today. Almighty God, our Father, you have given us life and intended us to have it forever. Grant us your blessings. Enlighten our minds to an awareness and to a renewed conviction that all human life is sacred because it is created in your image and likeness. Help us to teach by word and the example of our lives that life occupies the first place, that human life is precious because it is the gift of God whose love is infinite. Give us the strength to defend human life against every influence or action that threatens or weakens it, as well as the strength to make every life more human in all its aspects. Give us the grace, when the sacredness of life before birth is attacked, to stand up and proclaim that no one has the authority to destroy unborn life. When a child is described as a burden or is looked upon only as a means to satisfy an emotional need, to stand up and insist that every child is a unique and unrepeatable gift of God, a gift of God with a right to a loving and united family. When the institution of marriage is abandoned to human selfishness or reduced to a temporary conditional arrangement that can easily be terminated, to stand up and affirm the indissolubility of the marriage bond. When the value of the family is threatened because of social and economic pressure, to stand up and reaffirm that the family is necessary not only for the private good of every person, but also for the common good of every society, nation, and state. When freedom is used to dominate the weak, to squander natural resources and energy, to deny basic necessities to people, to stand up and reaffirm the demands of justice and social love. Almighty Father, give us courage to proclaim the supreme dignity of all human life and demand that society itself give its protection. We ask this in your name through the redemptive act of your Son and in the Holy Spirit. Amen. And let's go now to this week's In the News. A new national poll that was conducted the first week of January 2022 by Vinia Research shows that a majority of young American adults under 40 favor no abortion at all or very limited abortion once a heartbeat can be detected in an unborn child. Students for Life, who solicited the poll, said they wanted to examine the viewpoint of the generation most targeted by abortionists. Other findings from the poll show that more than 6 in 10 young Americans oppose the no-test online distribution of chemical abortion pills, and almost 7 in 10 would vote for a legislator who fights for health and safety standards. When considering how devalued people have been treated historically by those in power, 65% of millennials and Gen Z youth did not support allowing people in power to decide who is fully human and deserving of legal rights. Kristen Hawkins, Students for Life president, said she was encouraged by the survey and that her organization will use the information in its legislative efforts and lobbying. Limits on abortion earlier in pregnancy are on the horizon as Students for Life Action prepares for 2022 legislative sessions, and we want to work with the pro-life generation and their peers to pass life-saving legislation, Hawkins stated. Fox News is reporting that the American Association for Pro-Life Obstetricians and Gynecologists is claiming that available data shows a significant discrepancy between data the FDA used to justify its decision to deregulate the use of the abortion pill mifepristone and the actual reporting from sources that informed those numbers. Last December, the Food and Drug Administration removed the abortion drugs in-person requirement in order to, quote, reduce burden on patient access and the healthcare delivery system, close quote. Though the FDA and pro-abortion groups continue to claim that the abortion drug is extremely safe for women, several recent studies indicate otherwise, including a study done last year by the Charlotte Lozier Institute, which found that abortion-related emergency room visits by women who took the abortion drug increased by more than 500% between 2002 and 2015. Likewise, in the UK, government health data there shows a massive hospitalization rate from the use of the drug after the government began allowing mail-order abortion drugs in 2020 because of the pandemic. And as the anniversary of Roe v. Wade is once again commemorated this weekend, with many praying for the final time, the U.S. bishops are asking all the faithful to make this Saturday, January 22nd, a day of particular prayer and penance for the legal protection of all unborn children. The faithful are also encouraged to bear public witness to the sanctity of life by attending rallies and marches, either locally or nationally. On Sunday, January 23rd, Monroe County Christian Citizens for Life will host its annual Rally for Life at the Monroe County Courthouse starting at 2 p.m. The event will include speakers, followed by a march to Planned Parenthood, and then back to the courthouse. Participants are asked to bring diapers to be donated to local pregnancy care centers. Then on Monday, January 24th, the Indiana March for Life will take place in Indianapolis. The day starts off with Mass at 10:30 a.m. at St. John the Evangelist Church with Archbishop Thompson, followed by a procession to the Capitol building where a rally will be held on the south steps. Finally, thanks be to God, no unborn children were killed by abortion this past week at the Bloomington Planned Parenthood. Please keep praying for the conversion of all those who work at and patron the facility, and that it will one day soon be transformed into a haven for life. And that's your weekly In the News. There's a truly lovely woman by the name of Elizabeth Latimer who has lived here in Bloomington for a long time now and who's been one of the most faithful pro-life advocates around. Well, several months ago, Liz was doing some cleaning and purging of closets, and she bequeathed to me a couple of bags of some great pro-life books, magazines, and tapes. And I was struck by one little booklet entitled The Pact, A Letter to the Pro-Life Movement by Mark Crutcher, founder and president of an organization called Life Dynamics. On the front cover, Liz had written, "This is not dated, and I don't know how long I've had it, but it's well worth the read." Well, I sat down and within a few moments had read through it all. And Liz was absolutely correct. It was well worth the read. I thought I'd share Mark Crutcher's letter with you as well, as it seems quite appropriate to read it on this anniversary weekend of Roe v. Wade. So for the next few minutes, let's allow Mark's words to sink deeply into our hearts and minds. At the beginning of the classic Christmas movie, It's a Wonderful Life, George Bailey stood on a snow-covered bridge preparing to jump into the icy river below. He had convinced himself that his life counted for nothing and was no longer worth living. But as he was about to jump, he was visited by Clarence, an angel who showed him all the ways he had made life better for his family, his friends, and those in his small hometown. By the end of the movie, George had come to realize that his biggest mistake was that he was letting his life be defined by its failures. Those of us in the pro-life movement often make the same mistake. We think about the fact that after all these years and despite all our efforts, thousands of unborn babies are still being killed every day with no end in sight. So we begin to doubt whether we've really accomplished very much, and some of us will even fear that we may be fighting a battle we can't win. On the surface, this sort of despair might seem justified. But when you look deeper, a much different picture emerges. For example, in 1992, there were more than 2,100 abortion clinics in America. Today, there are around 700. But you can be assured that if the pro-life movement had never existed, there would be abortion clinics in every mall and shopping center in the country. And that is only the beginning. If there had never been a pro-life movement, the unborn would be politically invisible and their right to life would not even be discussed. It would be common for high schools and universities to have on-campus abortion clinics or contracts with nearby abortion clinics. Abortion would be the default position for every unplanned pregnancy. There would be no crisis pregnancy centers. Abortion would be the recognized medical treatment for every baby diagnosed as less than perfect. It would be standard procedure for babies of the undesired gender to be aborted. No one would object to aborted babies being chopped up and sold for spare parts or used in ghastly medical experiments. In fact, babies would be conceived just for this purpose. Euthanasia would be the accepted medical response whenever a baby is born alive after a botched abortion. Every abortion would be paid for with tax dollars. Every member of the medical community would be required to participate in abortions. Public opinion would not be shifting toward the pro-life position. Minorities and young people would not be coming into the pro-life movement at a rate never seen before. The list goes on, and its message is consistent. Had it not been for the pro-life movement, America would have long devolved into a country where the killing of an unborn child has no more moral significance than the pulling of a decayed tooth. If you doubt that's true, consider what took place in the Soviet Union. After it became the first industrialized nation in the world to legalize abortion, its communist government banned all organized opposition to abortion. Decades later, researchers documented that 90% of all first pregnancies and 60% of all subsequent pregnancies were being legally aborted, and many others were ending in illegal or unreported abortions. As a result, one study found that the average Soviet woman had 9 abortions during her childbearing years. As for the United States, when we had over 2,100 abortion clinics, our abortion rate was more than 5,000 a day and going up. Now it is about 2,700 a day and dropping. Of course, 2,700 babies still being killed every day is a national disgrace. And it tells us that we still have a long way to go. But to belittle or ignore the accomplishments of the pro-life movement is nonsense. It requires us to believe that the abortion rate plummeted for some mysterious reason that had nothing to do with the pro-life movement, and it dismisses the millions of babies saved by our efforts as if their lives never mattered. The fact is, the Soviet Union was a prototype for what happens in any country where the abortion industry is allowed to operate without opposition or restraint. And if it had not been for the American pro-life movement, that pattern would have been repeated in the United States. In that case, our abortion rate would not have been cut in half. It would have at least doubled or worse. So today, we would not be standing over the graves of 65 million dead babies, but 150 million or 250 million or who knows how many. Think about that the next time you hear someone question whether the pro-life movement's blood, sweat, and tears have bought anything. It is completely understandable that the pro-life community would, from time to time, become discouraged. We are locked in a brutal life and death struggle against odds that can seem overwhelming. In addition, we have to fight this battle in a world where we are routinely lied to and lied about and stabbed in the back by those we thought we could trust. In an environment like that, it is easy to become focused on our failures and mistakes. But like George Bailey, falling into that trap is the single biggest mistake we can make. It not only distracts us from the battle, it also hides from us the fact that we have already saved millions of babies, and we save thousands more every day. And yes, that is a fact. The point is, our movement's past is riddled with failures, and it would be unrealistic to think that there won't be more failures in our future. No one ever said that our mission would be easy. But the good news is, in order to win, we do not have to be perfect. We have to be faithful. Remember, God told us that the gates of hell would not prevail against those who follow Him. If we will just accept that promise as the source of our strength and our resolve, our victory is assured. As we go forward, we need to never forget that this is not a war between the pro-life movement and the abortion lobby. It is a war between the abortion lobby and the unborn. You and I are just soldiers who signed up to fight on the side of the unborn. It is a pact we voluntarily entered, and it meant that we would be the only thing standing between those children and the abortion industry. That commitment remains in place today, and to honor it, we have to make certain that what we lack in perfection, we make up for in perseverance. And that is exactly what we are going to do. Our movement can be justly criticized for many things, but in our quest to protect the unborn, we have never and will never run away from the sacrifices that must be made, or the burdens that must be borne, or the obstacles that must be overcome. So wherever God places us on the battlefield, and whatever role He assigns us, we will do our duty, storm the gates, and trust Him to deliver the victory. In the meantime, we will not let Satan rub our noses in our failures, and we will not follow him onto any snow-covered bridges. Some great stuff there from pro-life veteran Mark Crutcher. And I love how Mark used the movie It's a Wonderful Life to help make his point. You've probably seen this great 1946 film that was produced and directed by Frank Capra, where the main character, George Bailey, who's played by Jimmy Stewart, gives up all his personal dreams and aspirations in order to help others and his community of Bedford Falls. But as Mark said, George has a tendency to focus more on his failures than his successes. One of the best lines from the movie comes near the end of the sequence where George has been shown what life in Bedford Falls would have been like for his family, friends, and community without him. George's guardian angel says, "Strange, isn't it? Each man's life touches so many other lives. When he isn't around, he leaves an awfully big hole." The angel had shown George all the bad things that would have happened if he had not been around to do some good and to give completely of himself to others, even though it was never easy. So Mark Crutcher draws a great parallel here between the temptation that George Bailey faced in It's a Wonderful Life with that of what can be our own inclination to despair or to think that nothing is being accomplished by our own pro-life efforts. And we have to remember that normally God does not permit us to see the beautiful fruit of our labors here on earth. But if we give completely of ourselves with great love and with great trust in Him, then we can take it to the bank that He will make use of our every effort to help save lives and souls for His glory. We don't want to follow the devil to that snow-covered bridge of despair and stop doing the good that we can. Now, with all that being said, I actually do have some incredibly good news to report on how Roe v. Wade is slowly but surely being vanquished right here in our own community of Bloomington. For the past few years, abortion numbers have been declining there at 421 South College Avenue. There's also been a high turnover rate of the employees there. After all, how could any poor soul stand to work for long, steeped in a culture of death and impurity? But last year in particular saw the sharpest decline in the number of babies killed there than we have seen in literally decades. There was a 30% decrease in the number of abortions that occurred there at the Bloomington Planned Parenthood in 2021 from the previous year, 2020. We estimate that the figure looks like around 520 unborn children killed there by abortion in Bloomington in 2021. Let me run down the numbers for you so that you can get a better overall picture here. About 6 years ago in 2016, 1,600 unborn children were killed by abortion here in Bloomington. In 2017, it was 1,065. In 2018, it dropped to 887. In 2019, it was 819. In 2020, it was 764. And as I said, in 2021, it dropped substantially to about 520. Of course, the Women's Care Center right next door is a major factor in this decline. How many unborn children and their moms and dads have been saved because of the generous time and talents of the women who work there and the donors who help fund it? And certainly, the prayer and fasting of many has been foundational in all of this. Because as our Lord told us, there are some evils that can only be driven out through prayer and fasting. So please don't ever think your simple prayers and sacrifices don't matter, because they absolutely are needed and they are powerful. Please don't get tired of fighting this battle. As Mark rightly said in his letter to pro-lifers, we aren't perfect, but we can help make up for that with our perseverance. And I thank you so very much for continuing to struggle and carry on in this most important apostolate. I don't know what 2022 will bring. The numbers may go up again. We should continue to put forth our best effort, though, so that they do not. But even if they do, we must continue to trust in God and be assured that if we remain faithful, the victory for life is guaranteed. And let's also never forget that this battle between the culture of life and the culture of death is primarily a battle for the salvation of souls. And the generosity that we give to prayer and penance should reflect this. You may have heard in the news that the day after Christmas, on Sunday, December 26, as we were continuing to celebrate the birth of the divine child and also the feast of the Holy Family, Sarah Weddington, one of the main attorneys who argued for the legalization of abortion in Roe v. Wade, died at the age of 76. Here we had a woman who, fresh out of law school at the age of 27, went before the Supreme Court in 1972 to argue that the U.S. Constitution gives women the right to kill their own unborn children. Weddington was born in Abilene, Texas in 1945, the daughter of a Methodist minister. Weddington played the organ, sang in the church choir, and was president of the youth fellowship at her church before graduating from high school 2 years early and heading off to the University of Texas Law School. In her own memoirs, Weddington wrote how during her third year of law school, she traveled to Mexico for an illegal abortion in 1967. She remained staunchly committed to abortion for the rest of her life. just one day after the world celebrated the anniversary of the birth of the divine child, and just days after the U.S. Supreme Court heard oral arguments in Dobbs versus Jackson Women's Health, a case that is reconsidering Roe v. Wade, Sarah Weddington went to her Maker. Romans chapter 14, verses 10 through 12 say, "For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of God. For it is written, As I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bend before me, and every tongue shall give praise to God. So each of us shall give an account of himself to God." That time came for Sarah Weddington, the lawyer who successfully argued Roe v. Wade, resulting in millions upon millions of unborn children's lives being violently ripped from their own mother's wombs. What must that have been like for her to come face to face with this horrific reality? We should shudder at the thought and pray and beg God for mercy upon her, even as we continue to pray for all of those who are involved in promoting and upholding the legalization of the killing of the unborn. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. We who have been given much have much more expected of us. In 2022, let us not grow weary in doing good, for the salvation of many souls is at stake. And really, it should be our joy in praying and fasting for souls who are far from God and steeped in a culture of death and impurity. Here are some more words from the little book, The Apostolate of Holy Motherhood, which I quoted from in the first program of this new year. Our Lady told the blessed seer, "You must be prepared to give completely of yourselves now, especially as the time is so crucial. Hold nothing back for yourselves in your service." Our Lady also encouraged us to embrace suffering and offer it up for the salvation of souls. "There are many reasons why you must suffer," she said. "Do not question them. Just be willing when you are called upon. Sufferings bear great fruits. My hope is that my children will respond with willing spirits and generous hearts when called upon to suffer now in these times when the salvation of the souls of so many are at stake. They will be with you in paradise for eternity and most grateful to you for your little sacrifices." Our continued prayers and sacrifices in this new year, especially for the Supreme Court justices, could well result in our nation not seeing the 50th anniversary of Roe v. Wade being marked. Wouldn't that be such a joy and blessing? Please God that it may be so. Let's make this weekend count by filling it with intense prayer, sacrifices, and offerings of our sufferings so that it cries out to our Maker, "Mercy, Lord, do not allow us to see another year of the legalized killing of unborn children." Thanks so much for joining me. Until next time, let us heed the warning of St. Maximilian Mary Kolbe that the most deadly poison of our time is indifference. Let's pray for one another that we may be consumed with a desire to save lives and souls, to give the greatest possible honor and glory to God. Ave Maria.
Thank you for listening to Pro-Life to the Max, a production of WOMB Catholic Radio. To learn more about this program and how you can help us to continue to produce and broadcast this content, visit us online at WOMBradio.com.